I love the Word of God. And somehow, I'm asking the Lord to help me love it even more. Because my understanding is that this is what I need to live by, and it's what I'm going to be judged by one of these days. So I have something that I want to speak about that's very dear to me and to all of us. I've had the privilege to do a lot of traveling in this country. I think I've been in all 50 states, the 48 contiguous states, and plus Alaska and Hawaii. And I've seen some beautiful things. God has created quite a beautiful world for us to live in. And I believe He did that for us to enjoy. I believe He wanted us to enjoy it. And I've learned that I've had people tell me about places that I've never been. And they've tried to describe it to me. But it just wasn't the same as it was when I finally got to see it for myself. There's something about the visual, being able to what we see with our natural eye, brings into much more focus into what things really are, much more than what we hear. And we retain more of what we see than what we hear. I think that's been proven or been studied and proven. So I want to talk about seeing something today, and that is Zion. I want to talk about seeing Zion. I have a text over in Genesis. It's found in the 13th chapter, 14th verse. I'll read a few verses here. The Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. That's us, isn't it? That includes you and I. I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise! Walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. We have a very gracious Father this morning. He really, in my way of looking at things, in my estimation, is asking very little of me for all the many things that He is willing to give me. It's astronomical, the benefits that we get from God compared what little bit we give Him. And in the singing of the song this morning that said, He will not fail me now, it made me realize, I was thinking about all of us gathered here, how dependent that we are on Him. How much we really, really need Him every day. Well, we realize or we feel like when we get in our real trials and battles or the storms come, well, we're really leaning on the Lord. But you need the Lord on your good days. Scripture says it's through Him that we live, move, and have our being. God told Abraham, everything that you see, all that your eyes behold, I'm going to give it to you. You know, you and I this morning, we need a divine revelation from God of the Scriptures, an understanding of the Word of God. We need a spiritual perception of what God really has for you and I, what He really has. We live in a world today that's trying to taint everything that the Word of God stands for. They're trying to undivine Christ. They're trying to make a mockery of the whole thing. But I want to say this morning, thank the Lord, the Word of God is still true. Christ is still Christ. He's still our Savior. He's still our Redeemer. He's still sitting on the right hand of the Father. He still has all power in heaven and earth. He's got it all. And He wants to give it to you and I. He wants to give us something. Everywhere you can see. The point is, can we see what it is that God wants to give us? That's my point. It says in one place, Jesus said, "Fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." But in order for me to get the kingdom, I've got to be able to see it. He wants to give it to me, but I got to see it. You know, if it's in the dark and I can't see it, I can't get a hold of it. I can't find it. But God wants to bring every particle of His Word out into the light. And He wants you and I to be able to see it and get a hold of it, that we might be able to have some power working within us. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we're able to ask or think, but it's according to some power in us. God has all power in heaven and earth, but if He had all the power and didn't give us any power, there's some things that wouldn't be done. That's right. He uses man. He uses human instrumentality. He gives power and authority to man by the Holy Spirit, doesn't He? We need today, and I was looking around, and we really have a wonderful group of young people. I hope they understand how valuable they are. I hope they also understand the value of the heritage that is being passed down to them. But I want to tell you this morning, and not only them, but every one of us, it would behoove us to get a real spiritual perception, a real spiritual understanding of God's Word. It tells us many places. Paul taught especially about being rooted and grounded and established, coming to maturity, growth, and development in Christ. I heard in the Sunday school lesson, you know, once we get the Holy Spirit, is that it? There is a continual growth and a continual development, a continual understanding that God has for you and I, every one of us here this morning, a continual. It's His pleasure to give it to us, but we got to be able to see it. We need to be up where we can see it. Reminds me of a scripture that I wanted to bring out. He said over in Ezekiel, just going to read the one verse, 43 and 12. He said, "This is the law of the house. On the top of the mountain, the whole limit thereof round about shall be most holy. Behold, this is the law of the house." The mountain. She's high and lifted up, isn't she? She's exalted above all the hills. She's up there where she can see out and beyond the horizon. She can see the things that are around her, and she can see the things that are coming against her. God wants you and I to have some discernment and understanding of the world that we live in today. But notice, He said, upon the top of the mountain, and the whole limit round thereof round about shall be most holy. It is my understanding of what Jesus taught when He said something about sending the Comforter and the Spirit of Truth. It is my understanding that truth comes through and only through sanctification. It said the most holy. Isn't that the place in the temple? Doesn't that represent, isn't that a shadow, type and shadow of the sanctified life today? The most holy place where the high priest went in once a year? You and I are all priests this morning. God has given us something. He's given us something. Can you see it today? Do you perceive and understand that He's given every one of us a holy, most holy place to live in Jesus Christ? By the infilling of that Holy Spirit. He's given us a holy place. And it said not just on the top of the mountain, but the whole limit round about shall be most holy. God's coming back after a holy church. Jesus is coming back after a holy bride, folks. And today, part of my burden here this morning is that the world, the sectarian world, the religious world, and all the agnostics and people out there are trying to distort this thing. They're trying to undermine it. They're trying to water it down. Folks, you and I today, we live in a time we better have something on hand that we can refute the devil with. Better have something on hand. And I've been telling folks down my way this. You need to get God for yourself. Your father's relationship, your mother's relationship with God, your husband's or your wife's, it is not going to be a benefit to you when you come to your trial, to your test, and you're down where the rubber meets the road. You better have a spiritual perception and know God for yourself. Because you're the one that's going to go through that trial. You're the one that's going to be refined, tried, and made white. And what somebody else has is not going to be beneficial to you. Whenever the rubber meets the road in your life, when those trials come, you need to get God for yourself. Because you're going to face the devil by yourself. Many times you're going to be all alone. Have you ever, I've heard people say, I tried to get a hold of the pastor and couldn't get a hold. There are times, folks, we're going to have to deal with the devil ourselves. We're going to deal with him. Lord, help us to have something on hand. God has it for us. He said, I'll give you everything that you see. Now, if our eyes, that's the problem today with many people, is that their eyes of faith are not able to see. They're not able to grasp and take it in and understand that we still live a holy and a godly life. There are people today that have been around the saints for many years. I had someone come to me not all that long ago, and they said, Brother Larry, I want to ask you something. Why do the saints teach so-and-so? And I looked at them, and I knew their life, and I knew that, like I said, they'd been around the saints a long time. Said, I believe it, and I try to live that way, but somebody asked me the other day why we teach it, and I really couldn't explain to them why we teach it. We need a vision. We need a perception today. We need to understand for ourselves. We need to be able to answer these questions. We need to be able to explain to these folks that are looking for something better. We need to know why ourselves. Don't just do it because the preacher said to do it. That's not the right reason to do it. It's not going to benefit you when you get in that hard place in your life. Search them. Get a hold of them. Get a perception of them. Get an understanding of them. Don't be just satisfied with coming to services on Sunday morning and night and Wednesday night and taking in what everybody has to say. I remember when I was a young man and the minister would get up and he'd give out scriptures and he'd preach his message and I'd write them down and I'd go home and I'd pray over them and I'd read them and I'd study them and get a hold of them for yourself. You're going to need them. We're going to need them. You're going to need them for yourself. We need spiritual minds today. Our world is so cluttered. Our world is so busy and it's so full of sin. We need a spiritual mind. We need to be thinking spiritual things. Setting our affections on things above, not on the things of this old earth. That's what we need to be doing. Study to show thyself approved, the workman unto God that needeth not to be ashamed. We're going to have to work at this thing. But God said, I'm going to give it to you. You know that there's people today that are murmuring and complaining. They're looking at the church. They're looking at this. They're looking at that. And they're murmuring and complaining. Just like the children of Israel, when it was over there in the wilderness, murmuring and complaining. And over there in Canaan, God had the very best for them. But they weren't where they were supposed to be. If they would have went on over there after that 3 days' journey, there wouldn't have been no murmuring and complaining. The pomegranates and the grapes and the honey and all, it was all there. God has good things for every one of us, but we got to get there if we're going to enjoy it. We got to get there if we're going to receive the benefits. There's sometimes people are asking God to do things God can't do. You know there's things God can't do? God won't work over His Word. When God has given a requirement and I have an understanding of something and I'm trying to override that and press over that and still get what I want, God can't bless me. God can't help me to get it. You say, well, God can do anything. He can't do that. He won't go over His Word. He said that I'm God and I can't change. My word is eternal. It won't return unto me void, but it will accomplish that in which I please. He won't go over His word. There's good people today, well-meaning people that are trying. They seem like they're struggling in their walk with the Lord, and they're asking, and they think they're doing all that they know and understand. When the bottom line is. When the fact of it is, there are things that God has shown them and revealed them through the Word, through the minister, or whatever it is. But there are places in their minds and in their hearts that they have not been willing to go and allow God to humble them down. That's our problem, part of our problem today. Not willing to humble down and let God do what He wants to do with us. The only way you're going to get to heaven is to humble down. It's the only way any of us are going to get there, just to humble down. I'll tell you this, if you don't see it, you won't get it. You got to be able to see it. Say, how do I see this? You know, I can ask the Lord to give you some spiritual understanding. I'll get into that in a little bit. But God has that for us too. Any insufficiency that you and I have, God has the supply to supply that need. Whatever the insufficiency is, maybe some of us are a little slower to understand. Doesn't matter. If we follow on to know the Lord, He's going to rain righteousness down in our hearts, folks. If we follow on to know the Lord. Oh, you said, everywhere you see, I'm going to give it to you. I tell you what, that's beautiful thought to me. That's a lot of territory. And you know, I doubt if there's anybody here today that's put their foot down on all of it. When he told Joshua, he says, every place you put your foot, I'll give it to you. But I doubt if there's anyone here. I better just stick with myself. I haven't gained it all. I haven't got my foot down on it all. I'm still striving for it. I haven't attained yet, but I'm pressing on. Folks, the fact of it is, we need to know what we're pressing on to. We need to be able to see something that we're pressing on to. Lord, help us today. He says over in the 48th chapter of Psalms, you know the scriptures, verse 12, 13, walk about Zion. Walk about her. Go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. God wants us to understand what He's given us. He wants us to be able to discern the things that He's given us, folks. Walk about it. Don't just stay over in your little corner. Don't just do your little... Walk about Zion. Behold Zion, it says. He said, tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well the bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. So you know what to tell somebody. Well, I'll tell you. Not because my mother had it or my father had it, but I'll tell you because I got it. And it comes from a heart-rendering experience from me knowing God personally for myself. Oh, I'd be happy to tell you about Jesus and His love and the plan of salvation. There's folks among us today that can't tell us very much about unity, can't tell us very much about divine healing, can't tell us very much about the plan of salvation, can't tell us very much about why we teach modesty and purity and holiness. That's Mount Zion, folks. If you see Zion, if you see the church today is not just what we see with our natural eye. You've got to see the invisible church today, too. You look around and see with what you see with your natural eye, you can get discouraged real quick. You can get discouraged real quick, folks. You people, you preach it and preach it and preach it. You tell them and tell them and tell them, but they still look at other people. People look at people, and we always pick out the one that's struggling. And that's the one I set my mark the perfect man, and behold the upright. Oh, I want to pick out some. Well, they're doing it. Well, maybe they need help too. Maybe they don't see it either. Mark the perfect man. Behold the upright. The end of that man is peace. Man, that's what we're looking for today. The end of that man is peace. I heard it put like this. I heard about a fellow that went into a town, city he'd never been in before, and he was looking for a particular street. And he went up to a fellow and he said, I'm looking for such and such a street. He said, I don't know where that is. He said, well, if you tell me where the post office is, I probably could find out from them. He said, I don't know where the post office is. I've never been there. Well, if you could tell me where the courthouse is. He said, I don't know where that is either. He said, how long have you lived here? He said, 15 years. 15 years. Folks, there's no doubt in my mind this morning, and I'm not up here to be critical, that there's folks been among us for 15, 20 years and still don't know where the courthouse is. Still don't have a clear vision and an understanding, a perception. To perceive the beauty of holiness. To perceive a church that is so pure and so holy and so beautiful that no sin is in the church. No sin in the church. How long you been saved? What's your experience? What's our experience this morning? Oh, but Brother Larry, I've been saved 30 years. I can point, I would never do it. But I can point out some folks that I know been saved 30 years and they still don't have a spiritual perception of what Zion truly is. If they do, they have never gotten the grace to live it. Brother asked a very pertinent question to our day in Sunday school about the Holy Spirit. We need Him and we need Him desperately. But we got to be able to understand. We got to be able to see it. Get a hold of. And it's got to come through the eyes of faith, folks. It's not going to come right out there and be like the Grand Teton. Oh, I tell you, I thought that those mountains are so majestic. The Grand Teton Mountains. Or that place there in South Dakota where the presidents are on the side of the mountain. Oh, I was mesmerized by that. That's awesome. But I tell you, I've seen a lot of beautiful sights from one end of this country to the other, and Alaska and Hawaii. But I've never seen anything that will satisfy and is so beautiful as Zion is. And we ought to be hungering and thirsting after righteousness. I think that's part of our problem. The hungering and the thirsting. I think that's part of the problem. There's some folks today, out my way, I'll put it that way, out my way, east, that are trying to go out into sectism and find it. They're trying to go down to sectism in spirit or go fellowship, and they're trying to find Zion. They ain't going to find it there. God is still working in the church. God is still blessing the church, and Zion is His church. There is no other. He only has one. He only has one bride. You know, if we take up a self life, if we take up that old life of flesh, and we want this, and we want that, we're going to get down there so low, we ain't going to be able to see it. You're not going to be able to see it that way. It's going to take a consecrated, submitted life given over wholly and completely to Jesus Christ. And then you can see it. Then you can get a hold of it. Then God can give us some spiritual perception of what His Word really means, what it really is, what the church really is. If you really see the church today, I tell you, you're here for more reasons than one. You're here for more reasons than one. You know, I'm a shy fella. Believe it or not, I'm very shy. And I'm driving down that road and I'm coming to this meeting. Now, I'm just going to be honest here for just a few minutes about myself. And I thought, every year, Lord sends you down, lets you go to Holly Hill. Small meeting, just a few folks. But I love those folks. Here you are, you're headed out to Guthrie. And you know there are going to be a lot of people there. And I don't really relish a lot of big crowds. But you know, as I got closer and closer, I thought, that's my family. That's my family. Those are my people. And there's some folks I really want to see. And I sat there this morning and I started looking around and I saw some folks coming in and I saw Sister Sheehy sitting over. I couldn't believe my eyes. I told her, I said, I wish my wife would have come with me. We'd have us a group hug. We've done that before. You have to forgive me for it if you take offense. But my wife and her and I, we've had a group hug. They're my family. I see past the old flesh, the imperfections of the flesh, and I see a heart that is that someone is, as Job said, he knew what he was coming to. He came for the pure gold. Folks, we got some gold among us. Yes, we do. Thank the Lord for the gold. People, but they're the ones that can see. They're the ones that have the vision. They see Zion high and lifted up. They see it above the imperfections of the flesh. A lot of us in here getting old. We're getting older and we need more maintenance than we used to. But I tell you what, as we get older, our hearts grow, develop more love, more joy, more peace, more understanding, a closer relationship with Christ, a closer relationship with His Spirit, blending with our spirits, getting up in the morning. Good morning, Father. Thank You for waking me up again to another beautiful day. Well, I said, well, it's pouring rain outside. It's still a beautiful day. Zion is prevailing today. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, she prevailed, didn't she? Thank the Lord. Christ came and prevailed. I want to turn over to Joshua 13th chapter. See something else God told Joshua. Now Joshua was old, and he was stricken in years. And the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. Lord, help us this morning. There's more land for every one of us. I know there is. And I'm sure there's many of you like I have been seeking God for more land. You know what we go through to gain more land? Trials. Trials. Storms. Difficulties. Afflictions. We go through things to gain more land. I went through a trial about 3-4 weeks ago. And I tell you what, I was kind of scratching my head. Lord, I got down to the place where I said, Lord, You know I love You. You know I love You. How long is this going to go on? How long am I going to be in the midst of these flames? You know that I love You. Well, you know what? I think that's all it took. When I finally got to the place where I reminded the Lord, you know I love you. That's what Job said. He knows the way I take. I'm going to stay right in it. Lord brought me out. Lord brought me out with more understanding, with a greater appreciation for the beauty of Zion. I knew there's people. I've had people say, we're praying for you. Oh, you know what that means? We were praying for you. I didn't send out any distress calls. I didn't call anybody. I was so low that I couldn't bring myself to call anybody. I didn't want to deal with anything. People said, I've already told me. I was praying for you. That's Zion. That's how she works. That's my family. That's our family today. Can we see it? He said here that there's land. There remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. Heard about a man. Never seen the ocean before. I love to go see the ocean every once in a while. As a matter of fact, I call it my fix. I enjoy that. It makes me think and understand a little bit in my mind of the magnitude and the glory of God. How awesome that He really is. But I heard about a man that went and he finally stood on the sands and he looked out there across the ocean and he saw where the ocean and the sky met. He looked at that for a little bit and he said, is that all there is to it? That's all the farther it goes? There's people today, Lord help us, to have a greater perception and an understanding. We need to advance our horizons. We need to be able to see beyond what the devil's trying to show us. We need to be able to see beyond what the world is trying to put before our eyes. We've got to have some perception this morning of what Zion truly is. You know, sometimes we can get the idea, well, where I said I can see it all. Then any of us can see it all, folks. And if you're sitting in that place, you're already in heaven. If you can see it all, you're already in heaven. But down here, we're not sitting in that place. We need a perception. We need an understanding. Paul said it this way over in Ephesians, the third chapter. He said it this way. He said, verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. God wants us to lay hold. He wants us to comprehend the fullness of God. He wants us to be able to see that. God is love. And He knows, and God is perfect. And God inhabits eternity. And God knows that He's good. And He wants us to see all of His goodness. He wants us to see His love, the height, the depth, the length, the breadth. He wants us to walk about Zion. Don't be like that fellow in that little town, didn't know where anything was. Get out and look around a little bit. Explore a little bit. Open your heart a little bit. Open your mind a little bit. And God will pour something in there that will just cause those eyes to get so big. Wow! I've never saw it like this. Never felt it this way before. Never was this special to me before. Oh yeah, there's growth in this, all right. Oh, there's growth every day in this. Don't matter how long you've been saying, oh, there's growth, all right. Oh, the preciousness and the beauty of Mount Zion. You know, I said something a while ago about hungering and thirsting after righteousness. It's difficult for the ministers. It's difficult for the Holy Spirit to feed people when they're not hungry. Get real serious right here for a few minutes. It's difficult to feed people whenever they're picky about the food. We need to have a good appetite. We need a good appetite. He told, was it John? Eat the whole book. Not just what settles in my life or what feels good to me or what I'm satisfied with or comfortable with. The Word of God is for reproof. It's for correction. It's for admonition. We don't like admonition, but I've been admonished. You any better than I am? Lord, help us. It's for admonition. You might be better than I am. I feel like Paul many times. I'm the cheapest of all sinners. If I want to say, folks, we need not be picky. I know that I've heard the Word of God go forth in places and people murmuring and complaining about what the preacher has spoken about. And it was the truth. Lord, help us. Tell you something. I'm going to tell you one of our biggest dangers right now in the time that we're living in, and that's complacency. It's one of our biggest dangers. We can come to church, we can go to camp meeting and still be complacent. If we lose that hungering and that thirsting, when Jesus was giving the message there to John on the Isle of Patmos, and he talked about the message to the church at Ephesus, he said, you've done some good things, you've got some good works, you're really holding things real good, but you've lost something. You've lost your first love. What kind of zeal do we have today? What kind of vehement desire do we have today? It is possible for us saints to go through the motions. It's possible for us to just go through the motions. I'm going to camp meeting. Why? Because I do that every year. I was thinking this morning in my meditation, Lord, you've given us another year in this old world, in this country, that we still have the freedom to go out to the Guthrie Chapel and preach the truth without being put in jail yet. You can lay back and you can get complacent about that, but one of these days we might not have that freedom. They're working on it. They're working on it right as we sit here. They're working on it. Complacency. Just falling in a pattern. Falling in a rut. Anybody in a rut? I was talking to someone one time and I was telling him I had some thoughts on a rut. And he said, Brother Larry, you know what a rut is? I said, well, I know what my thoughts are. He said, a rut is a coffin with both ends. A rut is a coffin with both ends kicked out of it. I said, my brother, that's pretty strong. That's rough. It is a dead-end street. They say that at one time there was a sign on the Alaskan Highway. It's an old dirt gravel road. It said there was a sign up there that says, choose your rut carefully because you're going to be in it for the next 200 miles. Some folks have chosen ruts and may not even know it. Not really enjoying, just enduring my salvation. Oh, God has something better for us than just enduring salvation. But we got to be able to see it. We got to possess it. Get a hold of it. Have far horizons. Be able to see above and beyond. Nehemiah, in the 6th chapter of Nehemiah, he had a mission from the Lord. He was rebuilding the walls around Jerusalem. And he was intense in his work. And the old Sanballat, or one of those fellows, wasn't Sanballat, but the other one, they sent a message, said, come on down here to the plains of Ono, and let's talk. We want to talk. You know what Nehemiah said? He said, I don't have time to come down and talk. I'm doing the Lord's work. And I'm busy in the Lord's work. And I don't have time to come down for just chit-chat. But I'm busy in the work of the Lord. What is our priorities today? Is the work of God secondary? Is going to services secondary? Giving my prayers and my offerings to the Lord, is that secondary in my life? Shopping become primary. Vacations become primary. My idle time become primary. We need a vision. We need to understand that we're living in the best of times. Wasn't that Dickens? He said, in starting one of his books, he said, it was the best of times and it was the worst of times. We're living in one of the worst of times for the enemy to come after our souls. I believe that the enemy will spend a lifetime to destroy a soul. He'll spend a lifetime. I've had several of the older saints come to me. Had one old brother come to me, was in his 90s, tears running down his cheeks, and said, "Brother Larry, pray for me. The devil's fighting me harder now than he ever fought me in my life." Devil's relentless, folks. He's going to fight you till your last breath. You ever see someone go into convulsions when the breath was passed, life was passing out of them? I have. It was almost hard to contain them on the bed. But I want to say this too, that God will spend a lifetime trying to get a hold of a soul. God will spend a lifetime. You know, the devil ought to be satisfied. He's got the majority out there, it appears. But he's not satisfied because he wants everyone. And God's not satisfied either. That's why he's still giving us time and still sending the Word of God forth. Still trying to stir us up, shake us up. Still challenging us. Still reminding us that He is God. He's on His throne. He has not changed. The church hasn't changed. The Word hasn't changed. And the ministry hasn't changed either, folks. We're still preaching the truth. By the help and the grace of God, we're going to do it as long as the Lord gives His breath to preach the truth. Over in Ephesians here, we're in Ephesians. I want to try to explain this. Lord, help us. It says Ephesians 1 and 18, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints." He wants us to know. But He says, the eyes of your understanding, the heart. Your heart is the understanding of your soul. Your heart is the spiritual eyes of your soul. Get it in the heart. The Lord searches the heart. He trieth the reins. Get it in the heart. The mind is the devil's battleground. You hear the word preached, you hear him say that and that one say that. Folks, it's got to get farther than the mind. It's got to get in the heart. Then I can get some spiritual perception and some spiritual understanding. Do you know that if the food that you eat, our natural food, if it isn't digested and disseminated into the body, it provides no health and no nutriment to the body. It doesn't do the body any good if it isn't broken down, digested, and disseminated in the body. And I understand that if it's not, and it just lays there, it will breed disease within the body. The fact of it is, folks, the things that we don't understand of the Word of God, the things that we don't understand that the Spirit speaketh expressly to us, that if we don't understand them, they will not feed our souls. No understanding, you won't be able to get your soul fed. But God's not trying to hide anything. He's not trying to hold anything back. He wants us all, our eyes of our understanding, be enlightened. That we may be able to, that the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Oh, I want to learn more about Him. You know, even in my old age, I still perk up sometimes when I get a little bit of truth, a little bit of revelation, a little bit. He'd come along and just explain something to me sometimes. I tell you, I perk up with that. But I want to tell you something. It takes God's light. He talks about being enlightened. It takes God's light for us to understand what His Word teaches us. Now, how does that work? In Romans 8 and 16, it says, "His Spirit beareth witness
with our spirit.
And when His Spirit is bearing witness in my spirit, then it is enlightening and illuminating, and God is dealing with me and trying to reveal to me. And folks, when God is sending His light into my heart and His Spirit is bearing witness with my spirit, that's the time for me to do business with God. That's the time for me to seek for what God is trying to get for me to get a hold of. That's time. That's the time to examine myself. Paul said, examine yourself, see if you be in the faith. When God is sending His Word, when God is dealing with us by His Spirit, when God is illuminating and trying to give understanding, that's the time when His Spirit is bearing witness with our spirit. Oh, I thank the Lord for the Spirit of God that witnesses to our hearts. Folks, it's God's will, in closing, it's God's will for us to see or discern the kingdom. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not of this world. It's righteousness and peace and joy. The bucket. Don't forget the bucket. We mean the bucket. It said, with joy you'll draw water out of the wells of salvation. Whenever I was a little boy, we had to go to the well with a bucket. Got to have a bucket to get that water we heard about this morning, Sunday school. In the Holy Ghost. Four parts to this kingdom. Folks, the kingdom of God is about souls. That's what it's about. It's about your soul, my soul, the lost soul, the souls of mankind in this world. Jesus told them over there, He said, the fields are white to harvest. They're already white to harvest. Where are you looking? They're already white to harvest. We need to expand our horizons. We need to see. We live in a dangerous, critical time for our souls. I'm learning that. I'm learning that personally. I'm learning that through my personal battles and trials that God is permitting me to go through. Things that, thoughts that come to my mind that I never thought would ever be there. Oh, yes. Don't sit there so pious and say you don't get thoughts that you don't want to have, because you do. But you can cast them out and you can get rid of them, thank the Lord. But I'm telling you, the devil is bringing darkness in upon God's people if we'll let him. And we need some understanding. We need some to be able to see something here. We need to be able to see Zion. It's His desire that we have some power. It's His desire that we have horizons that we can see. We can see all around this mountain. There shall be holiness. It says over there in Obadiah upon Mount Zion, there shall be holiness. And the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. Possess it. Get a hold of Christ for yourself. Don't build your experience on somebody else's. Get hold of Him for yourself. He's a personal God. He's a personal God. He will deal with you individually. On your needs, your personality, your emotions, whatever it is, wherever you are in your life, the things that you have to deal with, God will deal with you personally and bring you out into that wealthy place. Can I read a few verses here before I close right here in the third chapter of Ephesians? Paul said, for this cause I, Paul, prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to youward, how that by revelation He made known unto me the mystery, as I read afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, but as it is now revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets by His Spirit. It's now. They couldn't see it. You know, it tells us over there in Romans 11 chapter, they looked for a city. They looked for this thing. They heard about it. They heard about it. Isaiah prophesied. Jeremiah prophesied. They heard about it, but they couldn't see it. That's been revealed to our eyes today. through the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, this is beautiful. I wish I could. I could explain it. I could sympathize with Sister Angela last night. I wish I could speak well and say it the way I feel it in my heart. That's wonderful, folks. He went on to say that the Gentiles, I'm looking at a lot of Gentiles, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel. Universal, isn't it? All men everywhere. This Zion, glorious Zion, is for us. But there's people today that are living on short rations because they don't really see everything that God has for them. I want to say today, He told them over there in Revelations, I think it was the Laodicean people, He said, anoint thine eyes with eye salve. The Lord has eye salve for us today. If I've been struggling with an issue, if I've been struggling for understanding, the Lord wants us to understand what it is. He wants us to get the victory. He wants us to be able to see this thing through clear glass. Nothing obscured. But He wants us to get a hold of this. He wants us to enjoy the things that He has given unto His people. Amen.